have the right intention, have a good, pure intention, have fun with it, serve the hell out of people, which is honestly one of my favorite things about this model, is because you see, the only way it works is if your clients stay. And the only way they stay is that you're serving the hell out of them. And so I love that relationship, that check and balance system. So just, you know, listen, I'll tell you this, have that intention right now. You know, when I got exposed to HighLevel, it was last year. That was my first exposure at the conference. And I sat there in the back. I said, next year, I'm going to speak on this stage. I'm going to get an award. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to die trying. And so just have that intention. There's no reason in the world you can't have a really successful SaaS. Just smile right now. Have that intention. Map it out. Make it happen. HighLevel is here to support you. We're here to support you. You know, it's a beautiful community. Together, you know, we'll go far. Hey everyone, welcome to HighLevel's podcast, what we call the HighLevel Spotlight Sessions. Today, I have a special guest, Akbar Sheikh. I've met Akbar, maybe now 6-7 years ago, but it's really cool seeing him make the strides inside the HighLevel community. I got to spend a lot of time with him one of our masterminds, as well as a conference we recently had. I asked Akbar, hey, can we jump in and do a podcast? Because I really think it's valuable. One, because you got some cool plaques behind you that we always respect. And secondly, you launched your SaaS in such a rapid pace. So first things first, Akbar, can you do a quick intro of yourself? I know who you are. You built multiple businesses to 7 figures. But for the strangers out there, let's do the standard traditional bio intro, man.
Yeah, I'm a funny looking, technologically literate brown guy with a name nobody can spell or pronounce. that's who I am, basically. No, man, typical, or I was a burnt out high ticket coach, you know, did all that kind of guru stuff. TEDx talk, number one best-selling book, blah, 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 all the stuff that made mom smile. But, you know, we've had success basically being a business coach, helping entrepreneurs, all races, all colors, all ages, all niches, all around the world. We've handed out over 70 trophies when we help them at 6, 7, or 8 figures, every niche. And so it's been a lot of fun. The thing I'm most proud about is that we founded the Make More, Give More movement. The whole why behind we do everything is that we help entrepreneurs make more so they can give more to their families, communities, and favorite charities, hence making the world a better place. The highlights of my career have been building wells in Africa, sponsoring orphans, building classrooms for the uneducated, and giving the gift of vision to blind people by paying for their eye surgery. So it's been a fun and wild ride, and it all leads to today, really, where we've migrated from high ticket, burnt out coach into SaaSpreneur.
Yeah, the sexy SaaSpreneur. So Akbar, let's do this. Let's talk about, just to keep our conversation kind of tight here, let's talk about 3 things I think could be valuable to the crowd that's watching. And if you are a high ticket coach or a high ticket agency of some kind, you know the fulfillment pain behind that and what that all means. And converting that into a SaaS or transitioning into a SaaS is not an easy task at all. So let's really talk about 3 things, maybe intention on purpose behind the business. And then secondly, the offers and what you thought, what you really needed to rebuild essentially to go attack the market again. And then let's also talk about that assembly line fulfillment behind the scenes as a third item. So first things first, Akbar, how did you find intention behind this pivot, this business pivot of going all in on SaaS?
So basically what happened to me, man, is I was burnt out. You know, I was a burnt out coach. I've been doing this for years. How many people, I did most everything one can do. And I mean that in like a humble way, but I mean, it's like, what else do you want me to do here? And so you just got burnt out. I think that's because, you know, you get sick of playing at the same level, and you naturally want to level up and impact more people. So I turned 40. You know, my sister had been diagnosed with cancer. I was going through a little bit of a midlife crisis, semi-depressed. I'm like, dude, I just don't want to be doing this like high ticket stuff anymore. I'm just like, I'm done with that part of my career. So I went, man, last year, and I started like, I'm like, all right, man, I need, I'm like, I tried a bunch of different things. I tried crypto, got my butt handed to me, lost, you know, my house basically. I wrote a kid's book about racism. That was pretty cool. My kids loved it. I did stand-up comedy at Dallas University or something like that. I did a bunch of cool things trying to do something else in my life. All roads did lead back to kind of like coaching. I would get testimonies like Michelle, who has an autistic child who can't speak. And the doctor's like, sorry, your kid can't speak. And Michelle's like, yeah, don't be sorry. Watch this. She developed her own systems. Not only did she teach her child how to speak, she taught her child how to sing. Then she took our systems and helped autistic children all around the world go from nonverbal to verbal. And she got a trophy in the process. And I'm just like, when that happened, I'm just like, crap. Okay, I just can't leave. There's too much impact here. But I couldn't do the high ticket thing, you know. So I went through a journey, an exploration. And a lot of people, like coaches, at some point, they go through this where they look for like, okay, what else should I want to do something else in my life? All roads pointed back to coaching. But this time I'm like, nah, dude, I'm going to do things different. So I went for inspiration. It was event season. This was last year, end of last year. I went to ClickFunnels, looking for inspiration. I went to Onyx Singhal's mastermind, all great events. Then I went to my first ever real exposure to Go High Level. I went to the first ever Go High Level event. I'm sitting there in the back row on purpose because I want to take in the whole thing and see the whole thing.
And was this one of the masterminds or?
No, sorry. This was the High Level event.
So the conference, the big conference.
Conference, sorry, man. Yeah, The big one. Last year was the first one, right?
Last year was, this year we just had it a few weeks ago. So last year was the first one.
So I sat there and I'm like, what language can I use? We're going to keep it G or PG. Here's the thing. And I sat there and I was like, holy smokes, where the heck has this been my whole life? Because I'm just like, oh my God. And I realized right then that I'm like, the biggest mistake I've made, and like one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in my entire life was not doing this, you know, a long time ago. Because in the high ticket coaching world, hunt to eat. Yeah. Where in the SaaS world, dude, like no joke, you gotta understand something with SaaS, reoccurring revenue. Understand what SaaS did for me. I'm ever grateful for you, Paul and Robin, and I'll explain why in a minute. But basically what happened after that event, I'm like, holy guacamole, this is it. Robin came right here to this office. You know, I showed him the plan. He convinced me. I built a SaaS right then and there with an intention that this is going to be my, this is respect to the industry and to what I've done. It's like, cause I was ready to kind of just walk away and be like, oh, let me just do something else. I don't know. But Robin's like, dude, you've done so much. You've built so much, put it all into our software, white label it, and then build it up and then sell it. Like, why are you walking away? You just spent like the last 6 years, blood, sweat, and tears. Like, get something for that. Because in a coaching world, dude, you just walk away. You can't. There's nothing to sell because it's your face. In SaaS, you can get up to whatever 7x multiple. People have sold. This is not like a theory. So my intention was to build to sell, which was really sexy for me because I've never had that intention before. So it's been different. You know, this is built to sell. And why that's awesome for the end users, because man, you best believe we're doing everything in the world to keep you, because that really increases the value of the company. So I like to create win-win-win situations. It's a win for me. It's a win for you. It's a win for the clients. It's a win for everybody. You know, it's a very beautiful arrangement. So that was my intention. Is to build. And the other, you got to say something. I grew up in a dollar store. My dad was the first person to bring the dollar store concept to Connecticut. I was a cashier. We were giving people soap, food, clothing, school supplies, everything for a dollar. So it feels so good and natural to me to give people a crap ton of value and only charge them a couple hundred a month. It feels right to me, you know, more so than the high ticket thing. You know, once I reach a certain age, I'm just like, you know, there's just more of a natural fit. So SaaS feels really good. It aligns with my soul. And so that was the intention, to do something that feels really good, build up a beautiful company that's sale worthy, and stop hunting to eat all the time. That was the intention. And I'll tell you something, game changer. You got to start with an intention, because it became very curated and everything became very clear. Clarity eliminates anxiety. And it's been beautiful in interesting moments and fun and pain to build it, for sure. I'm not going to lie to you. I definitely went through some battle scars because I'm sure. Kind of a crazy entrepreneur. Now, I'm sure there's blueprints out there on how to build a SaaS. They are. I kind of just blazed, like did my own thing in a way. Man, lot of battle scars for sure.
So I think one of the patterns that I hear from SaaSpreneurs in general is the ones that are scaling really well and they go all in on it, they have a certain sense of purpose. And it seems like SaaS has kind of became an avenue to build like legacy businesses, right? So like great Russell Brunson said it, all roads for all people in the world of digital leads to subscriptions, mm-hmm. right? It's one of his books that he had back in the day. And I remember that it was like something I took to heart myself. And I said, okay, all the coaches that we will ever see, they will build some kind of a coaching program around subscription. Even God's sakes, like, you know, Netflix, it's a subscription. Yeah. Like everything, all businesses, like I think even like BMW and some of these luxury cars now, they have subscriptions.
If you want to, like,
inside the actual vehicle, right? So all roads lead to subscription. And why is people so hyped up about high level SaaS? Like, you know, back in the day, you had to go build, you know, a team of developers in India or Brazil and put together something. But why is it, is high level just hype? I mean, do you feel like it's hype, or what is the whole specialty around SaaS model inside high level?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm new to the high level world, but I am kind of I'm a forever fan and servant for high level at this point, because it did something for me that I'll never forget. You understand something? When I built this, I haven't had a chance to properly build my SaaS yet. We got to our first 100 clients. We were honored to get an award at the last event. Here's the thing. My sister got diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and the doctors said, you need a miracle. My sister died a few months ago. I'm so blessed and so happy that I do not have a regret that I wish I spent more time with my sister. Straight up, no hype, no BS. It was because of the SaaS business that we built really quickly. We got our first 100 clients. It was because of that reoccurring revenue that I was able to take my sister, and we went traveled all over the place, internationally, all over the place. And I was able to spend a lot of time, okay, kind of wild, but yes, trying to find a cure, a miracle cure for her. Okay, it's kind of crazy, but it allowed me to do that. And it allowed me to have no regrets about, man, I wish we tried harder. Man, I wish we spent more time. I have peace. And it is straight up because of SaaS, because I didn't have to constantly keep hunting, because that revenue kept coming in and was able to take care of the bills and was allowing me to be there for my family when they needed me the most. So is Go High Level hype? No, man. I've gotten straight up, for all practical purposes, remember, we got our first 100 clients. I haven't gotten any complaints about it, straight up. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful, I mean, I think y'all have, 130, I forget the number, full-time developers, something like that.
Yeah, we're at 850 full-time as a team. And I think right under 200 is developer. But regardless, Akbar, I first of all, I'm sorry about your loss. And I appreciate you sharing that story. The time freedom is really the biggest thing and the currency that most of us start entrepreneurship for. But the high ticket world, the agency world, all that leads to is really a pathway to like consume time. Like for you to fulfill a 100 grand client, it's going to take several hours. I mean, there's no, if they call you at 9 p.m., you probably should pick up, because there's a reason, right? And the higher you go, the less, you know, they leave you alone more, but most of us don't land those ultra high tickets that come from entrepreneurs that are already primed in their functioning, right?
Dude, the stress level is so much less. If we have an unhappy client, peace, see ya, no problem. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the offers? I know we first talked about the intentions. Help us understand offers with the high ticket world that you were running versus the SaaS offers. Help us understand that transition.
So the offer, I think the way to make an irresistible offer for SaaS is the following. Three things. Give them three things. How? This is what we've done, and it's worked well for us. How do you get them the dream result? Them is the client. So for us, we give them the how is like the blueprint, right? It's the course, the blueprint that gives them everything they need to get their dream result, right? That's number one. Number two is help them get their dream result. So with our SaaS, you know, you get actually one-on-one accountability, one-on-one support. You work with me and my dream team every day, me, the copywriter, media guy, sales guy, copy guy, everything, right? And you get in our private WhatsApp group, right? If you have any questions, we smash them through because successful is speed. So we're helping them get their dream result via support. And then the third thing, and this is what was missing from the high ticket world. So the first two things, that's in the high ticket world, right? The third thing that's exclusive to SaaS, automate their dream result. And that automation is the software, the high level software where you inject all your snapshots and workflows and all these things, that all the snapshots and workflows they need to get their dream result. And so that's the three-step formula that we followed that I think works pretty well.
Awesome. And so help me understand the fulfillment arm behind you. So like, I know fulfillment is something that we can talk about in a little bit, but when it comes to offers and how you decide the offers, are you going with mid-ticket or high-ticket SaaS, or is it low-ticket SaaS? What exactly is SaaS? Is it a hybrid offer? Like how many hours is going towards fulfilling a client? Is it, you know, easy breezy McDonald's style, or is it like a configured hybrid version?
I think it's a bit of a hybrid. I mean, right now we have like, I suppose, you know, to be honest, man, we keep testing different prices. We haven't exactly come up with a conclusion. Yeah. Honestly, it's worked at all different prices, but let's just use a median price of $497 a month as an example's sake. So as far as fulfillment goes for me, it's not a lot. Honestly, I do one coaching call a week. I am active every day in the WhatsApp group. However, that's an unannounced bonus. I actually just enjoy it. It's fun. We joke in there sometimes, we help each other. It's great. It's fun. But, you have a team, you do what you do best, you outsource the rest. And it's, I mean, you know, we, not to be cheesy, but it's not, you know, like the beach laptop, but, you know, you do get a good amount of free time, after you kind of, you know, build it, you do get a good amount of free time. It's not fulfillment all the time for sure. I remember, do you know Kat Hall?
Kat Hal from Australia or New Zealand? Yeah.
Yeah, New Zealand. Yeah, she's awesome. She's crazy. Yeah. I remember, dude, she was telling me this story one time. She had a traditional agency. She gave birth to her child. 10 minutes later or whatever, she asked for her laptop. She had to do some fulfillment for a client. Right. Yeah. And it's like, and I've had those moments too. You know what I mean? So, this is infinitely better than high ticket, man.
So let's talk about the fulfillment line and what that looks like. What is the experience you guys provide your SaaS customers the first 10 days? What does 30 days look like? What does 90 days look like? Give us a line, you know, idea of what that experience looks like.
So here's how we do fulfillment. Here's how I think you can win fulfillment. The first thing we do is an onboarding call we have an in-house director of client success. Right. Their number one job is to just get you one of these trophies, just help you, you know, scale, make a lot of money, impact a lot of people, make more to give more. You get onboarded with her. She shows you how you use everything. Okay. At the end of that call, she gets you on the tech onboarding call. Now I recommend you outsource that. There's different companies out there. Okay. You know, you all know there's HL Pro Tools, Extendly, blah, blah, blah. That is phenomenal. I'm not joking. I'm literally tech illiterate. I've never built a workflow or an automation or anything. Dude, I have not had a single tech complaint. You outsource all that, okay? So they get their tech onboarding call. Now, I'm going to give you guys a secret. Honestly, I think one of my top SaaS secrets, okay? I just came up with this idea. I developed this stupid, simple KISS, keep it simple, stupid spreadsheet. It's a checklist. So the client, Joe Schmo, there's a checklist. Did we add him to our Facebook group? Did we add him to our WhatsApp group? Did he sign the contract? Did we check in on him? And we automate the check-ins via text and email. Did we check in on June, July, August? You know, and all these things. Check, check, check. We find the people that we lose, churn. We look them up on the spreadsheet, which I call the master list. No checkboxes. And it's just like, love it. So we have the formulas. Like, you want them to stay. We got to check up on them every month. We got to make sure that they're in the Facebook group, in the WhatsApp group. You know, we formulated it, right? And another thing I'll tell you real quick, my friends, is don't make the same mistakes we made. You know, I'm sure you're very charitable. I think that's our industry just is, generally speaking. It's just is what it is. Do not you know, don't do anybody any favors. I know it's going to sound harsh, but trust me when I say don't do anybody any favors. If someone's like really struggling to pay month one, just be like, my brother, my sister, this is just, you know, have some free resources. Give them some free resources. This isn't for you right now, because you got to protect your mental energy. You know, they'll churn out and that affects you. Believe me when I tell you, you be a little bit more strict on that. You'll make a lot more money. Then you can cut a nice fat check for charity. But don't do any big favors on the front end. It'll just hurt you and help you. It'll make you impact less people.
Yeah, I think that's a big point when it comes to SaaS, right? SaaS typically, traditionally, is done at, I would say, low ticket. So, but low ticket attracts a certain type of crowd in every industry. You really want to filter that out properly. With regard to someone that you're shopping around and they're kind of curious, but they're not really bought in. And because the price point is so low, it's resistance free almost. It's just jump in, right? So you can easily see a lot of churn if you don't qualify the right crowd. And that's something I think a lot of agency owners, entrepreneurs have to pay attention to. When it comes to Akbar, if you can talk a little bit about expanding and scaling. I know you didn't just start off with 100 customers. Like, what was the journey that you took from going from 10 SaaS locations to 100? And I know you were on stage and we had, I interviewed you on our big conference and things like that for the SaaS panel. We talked a little bit about it then, but can you share a little bit about how it scaled and what it means to scale to 100?
Yeah. One of the things you got to stop being, and this is very much a reminder to myself, is, you know, some of us are crazy entrepreneurs and we're just like, let's try this. Let's try doing a 5-day challenge. Let's try a webinar. Let's try a free trial. We become junkies. I'm very guilty of this. You want to know what worked? Doubling down on what works. We had a very interesting organic strategy, and feel free to model it in your own industry. So for example's sake, not being mean to anybody, I think we're nice people. We would have organic, and you can do this in paid as well. Just canceled Kajabi, found something way better. And everyone's like, what? What's better? We have to understand human psychology. Everybody wants the newest, better thing. Why do you think there's a line out the Apple store every year for the marginally better iPhone, right? everybody wants new and everybody wants better. So who's the competition that your client's using? Say, we just canceled, I found something much better. And it was, what? Oh, here, let me show you the demo. Honestly, that was a big crux for our growth, is doing several different posts like that against several competitors. Active campaign, blah, 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 all the things that high level replaces. So that's the thing, is organic and just sticking to it. Every time we went away from that, it hurt, you know, it hurt. Now what we're doing to scale, because I'm getting burnt out from organic as I age and as I bald, is we're going to do paid traffic via regular webinars to a phone call. And remember, guys, salespeople don't cost anything. They're free. They're commission only. So you absolutely should have one. And setters are the same. You should have one of those too. And then we're also are going to do automated webinars, where they can just buy on the webinar. So that's our scaling plan as we continue. And you know, people do a lot of our stuff now, so we're building out a referral program as well. Success loves speed. You know, we've been busy, but with life. But, you know, it's important to document your plans. This is the first time ever with SaaS I actually made like a roadmap, Q1, Q2, Q3, what am I doing? It did fun.
Yeah. So Akbar, before we close out, I always love asking a ton of our guests when we do these podcast sessions, what are the number one mistakes you've made in launching businesses? If you can share one or two, that'll be, I think, insightful. We'll call it a day on the podcast.
Biggest mistakes are, business is a competitive sport. Sports are played in teams. Sports
In other words, don't, you know, one of these insane things that us entrepreneurs do is we're fulfillment. We're the copywriter. We're the funnel builder. We're customer service. We're sales. We're the janitor. It's like, dude, not even Superman can do all these things. Like, you need a very particular skill set to do awesome at each and every one of those. Like, no one has all those skill sets, right? So we have to do what we do best and outsource the rest. We cannot be a charity and you don't want to sell to the wrong people. You want to sell to people the right. Believe me, you're going to. I've had a very interesting life. I've been thin. I've been fat. I've been poor. I've been rich. I've been in a terrible marriage and a great marriage. I've been, a junkie and not a junkie. I've been homeless and not homeless. So here's the thing. I'll tell you something. An amazing wife, an amazing clients, or amazing significant other, amazing clients, and amazing team members, your life is awesome. But your life sucks when your clients are rough and your team members are no good and your significant other is no good. Life is terrible. So really focus on that. Another thing I'll tell you is I wish, as far as mistakes go, I discovered some health hacks later on in my career. Dude, this is super simple. So it might go over some people's heads. I can't tell you how much being healthy helps you grow. You are, because I know, because when my sister died a couple of months ago, I stopped eating well and I stopped working out. I just became this guy who eats pizza and stops working out. Oh my God, night and day. I'm like foggy now and like confused. Yeah. Like, when you're eating well and you're hydrated and you're supplemented, dude, you are focused, you are energized, you're ready to rock. And that's how we usually are. So really, keep an eye on that. That's a secret hack, honestly, to help you grow.
Absolutely.
And the last thing I'll just tell you is the most profitable thing we've ever done that's made us more money than our real estate, crypto, gold, mutual funds, and all whatever else ever combined has been giving. You know, make more, give more is about making more of yourself to give more of yourself. Whether it's money, whether it's a smile to someone, the highest ROI is giving. So you'll never go broke doing that. And that, honestly, out of my career is the top thing I can tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually one of my favorite things. And I know we have a lot of synchronized and synergic values in general. So yeah, I mean, I grew up in an Indian household and parents almost had nothing. And my parents were very, very generous givers. Even though they didn't have much, they would give. And I learned a lot of examples and how people treated them, what they did, how they were perceived, the reputation they built. And then you apply those things to business, right? Like you if you want to be a long-term business in an industry, you probably have to be the best giver in that industry. And not because you're just going to pay your way into higher reputation, but it creates a certain universe energy inside the operation. It creates a purpose. It creates a certain sense of belonging, even for your team members. And then you can go serve clients in a whole different way because you have a purpose-driven team internally, like just from creating something that is around giving. But anyways, I appreciate you sharing that, Akbar. Any last words as we kind of close out this session?
Hey, listen, don't beat yourself up. You're probably thinking like, oh my God, why haven't I done SaaS a long time ago? It's okay. Believe me, I went through so many years. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. The best time to plant, the best time to build SaaS was 5 years ago. The second best time today. So get that out of your head. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You can build it pretty quickly. Have the right intention. Have a good, pure intention. Have fun with it. Serve the hell out of people, which is honestly one of my favorite things about this model, is because you see, the only way it works is if your clients stay. And the only way they stay is that you're serving the hell out of them. And so I love that relationship, that check and balance system. So listen, I'll tell you this. Have that intention right now. You know, when I got exposed to HighLevel, it was last year. That was my first exposure at the conference. And I sat there in the back. I said, next year, I'm going to speak on this stage. I'm going to get an award. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to die trying. And so just have that intention. There's no reason in the world you can't have a really successful SaaS. Just smile right now. Have that intention. Map it out. Make it happen. HighLevel is here to support you. We're here to support you. It's a beautiful community. Together, you know, we'll go far.
Awesome, Akbar. So thanks for jumping in on a podcast session here. looking forward to sharing the stage with you again, maybe at another event or even one of ours. But either way, thanks for being part of our community and contributing quite a bit already. And congrats on your Sasspreneur Award as well, the gold plaque.
Yeah, man, I got to make room on the wall. I'm waiting for it. In the mail. Yeah,
you got a lot of awards, man.
Yeah, I'm taking everything off. I'm just going to put it right there.
Oh, man, but we love those. Keep those there. Add ours to the corner if you don't mind. But either way,
absolutely, 100%.
For those of you that may be interested to jump into a 14-day trial or a 30-day trial, that might be in the description if one of our team members put it there. But anyways, have a good rest of your day. Looking forward to it. And let us know if we can help you with anything. Akbar, thank you again for jumping in. Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Peace.